Blog Talk Radio.
Time with Pastor Steph.
That's what I like to hear. For this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. So, where were you last week? Oh, my goodness. We started off the week shaking the Monday morning blues with the Due Time Crew and our relationship conversation. Some of the most pathetic and worst cheating lines ever. Well, you can't admit that, you know, they were quite creative for some. Well, you know, we've been going on our diet, and we have a cheat day, don't we? Well, someone took the word cheat literally. Yes, I thought you said we had a cheat day. Well, what about the one who was caught cheating on the phone? Yes. Well, serves him right. Shouldn't have been spying on me. Well, you also had your deuces. All right. When they you're having sex, you were caught having sex in the dark with another man. Well, the excuse, it was dark, the lights were out, and I thought it was you. Oh, my. Man, oh, man, oh, man. What was one of the other ones? Let's see what some of the other ones were. Well, I want to catch one of them real doozies. Oh, when you were caught cheating with a friend, well, aren't we all friends? You know, some of the lies were quite pathetic. You know, I guess people, you know, when instead of panicking, they go into creative mode and they start saying all kind of things. And last week's excuses really showed that that's what people will do. Well, we could not let the morning go by on a Monday without having our switch tip. And our switch tip for last week, don't let your arrogance dumb you down. Yes. You know, so many gifts and talents we have. And, you know, sometimes it gets the best of us. Yes, you've seen a conceited person We've all seen a conceited individual. Well, sometimes that arrogance really takes us over. And unfortunately, instead of it making us better, it actually makes us worse, where we, you know, have been caught slipping and doing some real silly and dumb things. Yes. And, you know, it really can work against you. And we had the young man, you know, who is a decent actor, you know, decent actor, young, nice looking. You know, as long as you continue to go, you know, your potential, only God knows where you'll stop. And not in this case. I don't know how much acting he's going to be doing from the prison cell, as he has just been sentenced to 50 years to life at the age of 27. And, you know, you're lying and you're telling people, you know, that you can make them a star and you're going to put them in movies, videos or movies or, you know, you're going to help them get their career off the ground. And, you know, you only really did that as a ploy to get them alone so you could sexually assault them. And now your arrogance has dumbed you down so low that you've made the worst decisions in your life. And now you won't be seeing the light of day in freedom land for many, many years. That's your life. And that's the, I mean, to me, one of the largest ways, you know, you let this, you know, your arrogance dumb you down. So there's no logic. And it can't be much logic when you're willing to give up everything, you know, just for quick moments of pleasure. So come on. You know, get your head together and make sure you make the right decisions, okay? All right. Well, the demon went to church on Tuesday. Let's talk about a Tuesday church folks day. And I was able to give the children a sermon on acceptance. And I just need to know, when we allow the sermon to talk to us about God, yeah, to give us a lesson about God. Now, he knows God well. Oh, yeah, he knows God in the good, and he knows God in the bad. And he didn't have his share of the Lord. And this is exactly why we need to make sure we're not taking any advice from him about who God is. Because, you know, you don't want to be falling in a pit after you listen to what he has to say about God. So, you know, the good old pastor in the United Methodist Church allowed him to, you know, him, her, to come in the house of the Lord and give a lesson. So, go back and listen to how well that went. All right. Well, while Wednesday rolls around, and we got our socially conscious segment from Shanti, and one of the big news stories was Noriega might be facing a lawsuit when he let Kanye come on his show, his talk show, and talk about George Floyd's death was due to fentanyl and not asphyxiation from the knee to the neck. You know, so, you know, you got to watch out who you hang out with. Might be a costly move. So we'll see how that plays out later. And the ladies were in the house. And We talked about jealousy. Yes. A part of our conversation was ways that, you know, she showed she was jealous of you. And how about she tries to be the center of attention whenever you're there? Yeah. You know them kind of people. Well, I think you don't know. Is that you? Uh-oh. How about she downplays your success? Yeah. Unless you're included. Oh, yeah. She could come out and say, well, you know, she did this and did that because of me. Yeah. You know, you said, listen, I hooked her up. If it wasn't for me giving her the hookup, she wouldn't have. She wouldn't know. She wouldn't do. She couldn't do because it was for me. Yes. Oh, my goodness gracious. What else are we talking about here? Oh, she's happy when you fail. And watch out for these creatures. They mean you no good. Okay? So, I mean, it really was a good one because we also talked about, you know, when we played the game, you know, I knew I was jealous when. And the ladies were very, very transparent, as they are always. So you're going to learn a couple of things, you know, if you go back and listen to that conversation. So make sure, you know, you stay a smarty and listen to, you know, what the ladies had to say last week about jealousy. Because you touched on several levels in different areas of jealousy. As we close down our Wednesday on a fantastic note, as we had Pastor Charlene give her faith over fear segment when it comes to jealousy. Wow. Oh, Ro, Devada, you talked about Christian boundaries. How do we help people set, boundaries that people, you know, don't cross, or when they cross, you know, we're able to spot it. 1, 2, 3. Well, they say, be brutally honest and let people know where you stand. Yes, listen, you can't be a wallflower or a weeping willow when it comes to protecting you. Yeah, you got to set those boundaries. Define your boundaries. Let people know. Okay? We let you know what we're going to do and what we're not going to do. Okay? Ah, here was the one I like. Establish consequences. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you definitely have to do that. That's only some of the only ways you can set a boundary. Yeah, it's by establishing those consequences. Well, listen, the Good Time Crew was in its rare form last week Thursday. We had a ball and they were brutally honest. And they're going to make you laugh. So you got to go back and listen because a lot of learning in that listening. All right? Well, on Friday, we talked about jealous men. Ooh, that was a good one as well. And we talked about the signs that he is jealous and what he's going to do when he's jealous. He becomes more inquisitive. Yes, you'll find him asking a few more questions than he normally would. Let's see. He gets angry when you admire other men, or become a little extra nice. Yes. Well, the men gave it up on Friday about jealousy, and they did a fantastic job sending us into a wonderful, thought-provoking weekend. Okay? So that's how we spent our last week. So I'm so happy to be with you today as we are shaking the Monday morning blues together again today. Oh, my goodness. Is it October 24th, 2022 already? Man, time is flying by. And I'm giving God thanks that as the time is flying by, I get to spend it with my favorite people. And I'm so happy that you joined me today. And if you're not joining me today, but this is like a repeat or one that's being played down the line, well, I'm glad you finally listened. Welcome, welcome, welcome. All right. So we're about to get this party started. And we're going to go get that healthy breakfast. We're going to tell everybody we know that it's due time with Pastor Steph is on. And Matt, last but not least, please go nowhere because we'll be right back.
Eva Marie smoked 12,000 packs of cigarettes over 15 years. She quit, and now there's a new lung cancer screening that could save her life. You stopped smoking. Now start screening. No matter how much you smoked, early detection could save you. Talk to your doctor or learn more at savedbythescan.org.
Good morning, good morning, and good morning again. Welcome back to It's Due Time with Pastor Steph. And we are shaking the Monday morning blues. Oh my goodness, I can't believe it's another Monday already. And we're giving God thanks that he's been so gracious to us. And he's giving us another opportunity to get it right. And we're happy to be together. Well, I hope you're as happy with me as I'm with you. Having you by my side this morning. And we're going to get this conversation going. All right. So just a little piece of little advice. You might want to get those pens and papers out. Okay? All right. What are we talking about this morning? Wow. We're talking about salty sodium myth. Busted! Yes. Okay. All the things that we've heard about salt and sodium all these years. Are they true? We about to find out right now. Okay. Well, first myth. If you eliminate sodium completely, you need to eliminate sodium completely for good health. Oh, no. Sodium is an essential nutrient that controls blood pressure. And is needed to make nerves and muscles work properly. But you need the right amount. Okay? So sodium is definitely necessary for your body's function. But as always, as people, we overdo it. And that's how you get your high blood pressure. Okay? So just make sure you use, you know, the sodium in amounts that are going to be healthy, okay? All right. Myth number two, lower sodium foods have no taste. No, that's not true. There is a rich, a whole lot of different alternatives to salt. And, you know, you have different herbs and spices and all kinds of things that can flavor your food. Yes. All righty. I mean, when you cook, if you cook with lower sodium, you know, don't use as much salt as you used to, your food can still have some good flavor to it because there's so many other ways to flavor your food. Yep. You know, I remember years ago, all our parents ever used, all our mothers ever used was salt and pepper. And I remember Lowry's. You remember Lowry's? Or Accent. Remember that? Old school. Those were the only two things you really saw, cabinet. And now we can't cook with none else. I mean, without just the salt and pepper. We got to have all this other stuff. And yeah, well, now, especially if you're trying to keep your sodium down, you want all those added flavors of garlic and, you know, garlic, and you can use garlic powder, you can use fresh garlic. You know, remember all your herbs and spices, your oregano and your cilantro and, you know, all that good stuff that adds to the flavor of the food. So you don't have to, you know, go with, you know, just all the salt, you know, kind of pull back on the sodium and replace it with a whole bunch of other stuff, okay? All right. That's why Mama had high blood pressure. Because she used the salt and pepper and Accent and Lowry's, which is crazy salty. All right? All right. Well, what else are we talking about? What other myths are we talking about here? All right. My blood pressure is normal, so I don't need to worry about how much sodium I eat. Bomb, crazy wrong. We should be taking in no more than 2,300 milligrams of sodium / salt a day. Okay? And they say that cutting back by 1,000 milligrams wouldn't be bad for your health. No, they say it would help improve your blood pressure and your heart health. All righty. All righty. Let's see. How about this myth? I usually don't salt my food, so I don't eat too much sodium. Well, that's not true. They say about 71% of sodium that we consume is in our processed foods and restaurant foods, not our, you know, salt shaker. Okay? And that's why it's so important that we don't eat a lot of processed food. Yeah, we've been talking about that a lot here on this due time. You know, where we don't eat a lot of processed food because it's so salty, it's so high in sodium. And that's what always comes up when that processed food topic comes up. All right? So make sure we stay away from the processed food, the restaurant food, because also you're not aware of how much you're eating in other people's food. Yeah, you don't know what they've put in it, how much sodium they've put in the food. All righty, so let's make sure we watch the processed foods and the restaurant foods. Okay? All right. Well, the next myth. I don't eat a lot of salty food, so I don't eat too much sodium. Sodium is in everything. From your sandwiches to your burgers, your tacos, your rice, your pasta, yes, your pizza, your poultry, yes. Sodium is in everything automatically. So, you know, remember that combination of, you know, sodium foods will push it over the top, possibly. Especially if you throw a little salt in that thing. Okay? All righty. Last myth. High levels of sodium are only found in food. No. Our medications, even over-the-counter medications, sometimes have high level of sodium. So you definitely want to know what you're ingesting every day. Can you imagine? That's why we're so sick and we have no idea. Our medications have sodium. Thing we drink and eat has some level of sodium. Man, and you trying to figure out why you got high blood pressure. Well, that's how. All righty. So make sure you take care of that sodium health. Remember the first rule of thumb. Everything has sodium in it. So if you're cooking with it and, you know, you got that salt shaker out, you know, I don't actually cook with salt. No. And most times my food is seasoned properly, so I don't have to use salt on top of my food. Yeah. You know, and don't forget, high blood pressure runs in, you know, your family. It is genetically passed down. So if your mama or your daddy or grandma had high blood pressure, you can possibly have high blood pressure too. So you've got to watch out for your sodium intake, okay? All right, don't say Pastor Steph didn't warn you. All righty. So what are we talking about today? You know what's funny? All the stories I was finding had something to do with Let's Talk About It Tuesday. Yeah, they were some juicy stories. And, you know, I had to talk about it on Tuesday. It was just too good. So, but I did manage to find some good stuff. Let's see where we're gonna start. Well, okay, you know, moms and dads, we're going to have to be real careful about the things our children are ingesting, because you've got a mom in Virginia who's been charged with felony murder and felony child neglect for the death of her 4-year-old son after he ingested some THC infused gummies. And for those of you who don't know what that is, that's marijuana filled gummies. Yeah. So unfortunately, very early in her life, 30 years old, she was indicted by a grand jury for the death of her son, you know, for him, you know, getting to those gummies. And he suffered his little medical emergency, and 2 days later, he actually lost his life to, you know, that emergency. And it just, you know, it's really sad. It's really sad that, you know, we have these parents who are not being more careful, you know, with what their children are ingesting. And they say it all went wrong when the information that she gave the cops and the medical people, when they did the investigation, it didn't match up. No. And why people don't think their lives are going to catch up with them. You know, don't you know people going to check these things afterwards? All right. So they said that unfortunately, this has been going on for quite some while, where the children have gotten their hands on these gummies and the gummies have been laced with marijuana. And that's intentional because that's the way they're going to be ingested. And you have to remember, we've already given our children these gummy bears and all of these kind of, you know, gummy type candies. So you got to be real careful when you have them around the house, okay? So they say, you know, two children were hospitalized in Utah after consuming, you know, marijuana-laced candy from a food bank. Yeah. They say the following year, another mother shared her story on Facebook as to how her six-year-old was hospitalized for accidentally consuming marijuana-infused gummies that she thought was candy. Then you have the three toddlers in Virginia who got sick from goldfish crackers. Yes, that tested positive for the THC. And they say the kid's 60-year-old licensed home daycare provider was charged with the counts of cruelty and injury to children after surrendering her daycare license. And, you know, you've got to, you know, the authorities are warning us to please, please, please be careful, okay? Please be careful with what you're doing. You know, you cannot have this stuff laying around and our children are getting their hands on it. You know, if you got it in your house, at least, listen, here's the deal. You won't have to keep this stuff locked up like a gun. Right. You know, the average person doesn't leave their gun, you know, let me put it this way, the average responsible individual, you know, doesn't leave their gun out, you know, when their children in the house. You know, so you're going to absolutely have to be the same level of careful. You know, listen, you might be, you know, allowed to smoke it freely or eat it freely, but the children, remember this stuff, they're not little people. They're not little grown-ups. In other words, they're little children, and their bodies cannot take the ingestion of this marijuana in these high dosages. Because remember, in order to get you high from eating it, you got to have a certain amount in there. You got to have a certain amount in order for you to feel the buzz. So imagine what that does to a child's body. All right? So let's make sure, you know, that we're responsible. If you're going to contaminate and mess up your body, then you do it with your body. All righty? Well, this is a little long conversation here, but I am so happy. I say, rah, shish, kumbah. They are finally beginning to take some action against these fraternities and these sororities that got all of this crazy activity going on. And, you know, they're doing something about it. You know, how many years, decades we've been hearing about, you know, young people dying, being left for dead at these sorority houses, these fraternities out in the street. Yes, 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 yes. Okay, so here we go. So you have a university of Miami fraternity was shut down after somebody leaked a video of them singing and chanting a sexist song And let me get you the words of this storm. Because I definitely want you to hear what they had to say. And the name of the fraternity, first of all, was Sigma Phi Epsilon. And the word of the song, the chant, we dig her up every now and then. We effed her once and we'll eff her again. The men can be heard chanting in the video. That's what they were talking about. They said, get in, get out, quit effing about. And what they were singing about was having sex with a dead woman's body. Yes, this is what they were singing about. And they had it as a chant over and over and over and over again. They were heard singing this in this video, and you know, it got out, as videos always do, stupid. You know, I'm just mad that these people forget. They are so engrossed in their behavior, and most of the time it's your misbehavior that you weren't even considering this video, or that this video would be leaked. Yeah. Because you probably knew somebody had a phone out. Because people ain't hiding this stuff. They always got their phone out recording in plain sight. So you were so drunk and toe up and toe down that this was your conversation. This was your chance. And they said it was just stupid. They said that they even talked about keeping the woman in a wooden box. You're chanting about raping a woman. This is how inhumane you are. Okay? This is how crazy and inhumane you are. Well, that was only round one. Round two was, they were also alleged to put white powder in their mixed drinks that they were making. So they have, on a regular basis, they have a huge adult swim themed party. And they invite everybody. This is their biggest event of the year. And everybody's there. And remember, you've always got the male and female chapters. So if ain't nobody else there, the other chapter is of the gender. And they said that there was one young lady who said that generally, you know, because of, you know, the way people act and, you know, I guess we can't be trusted, she doesn't go to these frat parties without her own sealed canned drink. Yeah. She always takes it herself. But being that they weren't planning on staying that long, she figured she'd get, you know, a drink from the bar. Well, her friend, she and her friend noticed that there was a white powder on the top of her drink. Now, you're so stupid and careless, you don't even mix the drink. And she said she never kept her eyes off, she never took her eyes off the drink. And she said that meant that it was whoever made the drink is the one who is responsible for dousing and lacing her drink with this white powder. And several females have also made this complaint. They also, you know, the two young ladies, one of the women filmed it. She videotaped the top of the drink. And you could see it's kind of cloudy. Yeah. So they went to, you know, do some investigating, and they spoke to quite a few young ladies who no longer attend the party because they have found that they have some kind of substance on the top of their drink. And they said that, unfortunately, there were some young ladies who actually were like, it had already been laced and they drank it, and they were very sick, vomiting, and they said finding it very hard to stay awake, just out of it, you know, like really like blacking out, you know, had periodic episodes. So this, and now imagine, because see, you never get caught in the beginning. You never get caught in the beginning. And, you know, like I said, some of the ladies said, this is why they don't even attend anymore, because they just didn't like what they felt was happening. But I guess they figured they could not prove it. So they didn't push the issue. Now, they got shut down because their main, you know, what do you call these people? Like, the powers that be. The main, you know, whoever, Epsilon, you know, they have their integrity to worry about, you know. So you allow, remember now, so you have the main chapter and, or the main organization, that's what I want to say. And, you know, they have the different chapters. And, you know, you have to get approval to open up a chapter or start a chapter on that site. So they give the approval along with like a set of bylaws and rules and all that kind of stuff. And they were like, listen, this is not what we represent, you know, whether they really do or not. This is not what we represent. This is not what we're about. You know, we're not going to, you know, let these people, you know, kind of show a light that, you know, we're not shedding. We're not shining. And that's not the first time one of their chapters had to be shut down, because in Utah, this woman was in Florida, in Utah, they had to shut down because the that chapter on that campus was flagged for several violations. And they said, you know, we are putting these chapters in place to show, you know, humanity, to show love, to show, you know, prosperity and respect, and these people are going buck wild. Well, listen, they ain't learned this from nowhere. Yeah. Y'all know. Y'all probably did the same thing. You just didn't get caught. You know, you may not have laced it with white powder, but, you know, you may have been doing some other things, you know. So, you know, these people, it's a trend. We've talked about this before. And that's why I said I'm so glad to finally see a different headline, you know, of somebody doing something. So the investigation is still ongoing. But despite it all, there is no more on that campus. Well, at that time. So I say yay, 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 yay. Alrighty. Okay. This is the one I wanted to talk about. So now they've got this three phase. Plan. Let's call it like that. Three phase plan to fight crime on the subway system. You know, we've watched this subway system go straight downhill since COVID. And now, it ain't never had the best reputation, but man, they have really lost it. and they're losing it even more and more and more. These people are really making the subway system the last place on earth you want to be. So they're fighting back, Governor Hochul and Mayor Adams. They are now fighting back with their three-phase fight and awaiting, feel they're going to change this behavior, in a sense, or at least the outcome of the behavior. Now, we talked about one, you know, how they're going to put two cameras on up to 6,300 moving subway cars. So we know that that's not going to actually stop any crime, because we know that they're not going to be able to view this. It's not live. And even if it were, you know, how quickly could you get a cop onto a moving train underneath the tunnel? And one of the other phases is more cops. And they're having an uproar about that, because what they're saying is they're adding overtime so the cops stay out longer. And the head of the police benevolent system is saying, sorry, that's not going to work. We don't need to stretch the hours of the police, who are already sometimes doing 12 to 16 hours a day. And what you need to do is you need to increase the salaries, make it better for, you know, become more competitive, you know, in what you're offering these officers, so we can hire better people to be officers. Now, I do agree that, you know, when you want the best, you're going to have to set up the best offer. You know, you can't, you know, tell people where you'll work. You know, you're hired for 8 hours, but, you know, the real money is in your overtime. Because now I got to kill myself in order to get, you know, my base. So I agree 100% there. You know, they're saying they're adding 1,200 daily overtime shifts for the working police officers. And I'm like, well, what kind of answer is that? Well, the head of the police benevolent organization ain't feeling that either. So, you know, hire better, recruit better, and you'll come out with something better. So, well, the last part of the three-phase plan is to, are you ready? Put more mental health individuals in psychiatric centers. So I don't know how they're going to quite get that done. I don't know if they're going to make releasing them a lot more stringent. So, you know, if you have someone who has been diagnosed with some type of mental illness, you can't make them go into a psychiatric center, you know. And where are you going to flag these people? How are you going to flag these people? Are you going to tell the psychiatrist to flag you, you know, let you know that Mary Jones is now diagnosed and, you know, put her in a psychiatric center? How are you going to do that? I mean, I'm not really against these suggestions. I'm just puzzled as to how you're going to execute these things properly, you know, where they're going to be effective to fight crime in the subway system. All right? So I don't know. Let's talk to our girls. Our ladies, they were on point this morning. And they got to hear, you know, the our news. So let's say good morning to our lady girl, Tamika. Good morning, Tamika.
Monday morning. Good morning. How are you?
I am well, thank you. The question is, how are you?
I am getting better and better as the days go by. Thank you so much.
Amen. You're welcome very much. So we're talking about a few stories here. And we have our first story. But I don't want to talk about that because that's kind of beating a dead horse. But I do want to say yay for the chapter of, let me get this, Sigma Phi Epsilon on the University of Miami a location shut down because they are raping women. And they are celebrating it with a chant and a song. And they are accused by several people of spiking drinks, plain and simple, spiking drinks with some white powdery substance. Are you celebrating?
I am not. I have... For the longest time, that was one of the reasons why I decided not to pledge, because there was so much shenanigans going on until I didn't feel it was safe. You know, I remember at my college, there was they called it a sweetheart day, where in actuality, there were females that wanted to pledge a specific sorority, and they went there with the idea of pledging, but in actuality, when they went in, it was basically the fraternity raped some of these girls. And so instead of them pledging, this is what they got, you know, and it was kind of like an initiation before you went in to actually pledge a sorority. And my heart went out to one of the, you know, to some of them, because one of the girls that I, you know, that was my roommate's close friend, she was one of them. And I said, you know, and the sad part about it is these gentlemen or these men didn't get prosecuted because the sweethearts, the concept was you got molested or whatever happened to you, you didn't tell, and then you went over. And I was like, what a price to pay having, for just wanting to be, you know, in a sorority. And I said, you know, it was, you know, because I had a couple of my friends that was like, well, let's go. And I was like, no, I don't have a good feeling about this. Y'all just going to go spend the night and do what? I said, what happens? You know, I was asking questions, you know, and, you know, it's just a sad thing that happened to them. You know, we've got stories about people drowning, about people dying, about, you know, and even in my own school, I remember three of the pledgees that were trying to go over. One had a broken arm and two had broken legs. Coincidence? Probably not.
Wow. Yeah. You know, this is the story. This is why I say I'm cheering, because I'm glad they shut them down, because that's what's been happening. Just like you described, this goes on and on and on and on, and nobody, there's no repercussions. There are no repercussions. It's business as usual. You know, we've seen over the last couple of years, you know, that, you know, that they've arrested, you know, some members, you know, because they participated in one of the pledges, you know, drinking or to get this initiation going on, or, you know, just these frat parties and, you know, these children, you know, some of these are like freshmen, you know, have died, and, you know, they've arrested quite a few of them and things like that. But the chapter still goes on. So, yes, my pom-poms go up. Shut them down. Let them know, you know, you're going to have to just bone up and do right. You know, this is not what was initially designed, you know, and you're going to have to pay the price. You're going to have to pay the price. And, you know, not only should they be shut down. But those who were seen chanting, I'm sorry, you need to be locked up. You need to be locked up. If you can chant, you may have been a part of the race. So guess what? We're taking you in. And, you know, even if you're not found guilty, oh, you're going to sit some time in jail. I'm sorry. Because this is ridiculous. Ridiculous. All right. So we got this three-way phase subway fight against crime. And phase one, we talked about it, putting more, putting up video cameras on 6,300 moving trains. They said the second phase would be to issue out 1,200 hours more daily of overtime to police officers. And three, put these people who have mental health issues in psychiatric centers. Do you think that that's a good answer to fighting this subway crime?
Well, honestly, you know, I knew it was gonna come to the police officers. I automatically knew that, and I automatically knew. Let's just be realistic with any change that you do, it's gonna cause the transit system to go up. You know, we already paying almost $3 just to ride the train, you know. And, I mean, you know, when you think about it, you know, you're trying to shortcut, you decide to take the train just one stop. I paid $3 just to go down the street, you know. And, you know, and I get it. I understand that, you know, safety costs and that type of thing. And New York is a place. But, like, I knew – here's the thing. We're asking now for the police to be present, the same people that you got rid of because of them not being vaccinated, and like, you know, there was a whole layoff of a bunch of people. Now you can't get that back. You didn't think about that prior to that, you know, and I get that you were trying to be safe, but now look, now it's just a mess, you know, and now you can't seem to put a cap on it. You know, the other thing is, you know, with these psychiatric centers, you know, who really is going to actually say, okay, I got a problem and I need to be facilitated? You know, you got people that won't take their regular medicine on a daily basis, you know, who know that they have a concern. And they also know that if they don't take their medicine, it's going to become far worse. But they are also the same people considering, you know, and I'm talking about someone that I know, they're also the same people that say that they don't like the medicine because it makes them feel funny. So they refrain from taking the medicine and then they get worse. So, like, how do we put a cap on that? You know, we got people every day. You don't know who you're riding next to, you know, on the subways and trains. And I don't really know how to put a curb on it, you know, and prayer is definitely the key, but then, like, when it's happening, what do you do? You know, as you being on the train, how do you stop it? You know, as you being a rider, a, you know, someone that rides on a daily basis, you don't necessarily know until they start going off hinge, you know, and how to stop it? Really hard, especially as it's happening.
Absolutely, absolutely, absolutely. You know, you don't know which way to go. You just don't know which way to go. And like you said, you know, now this is all coming back to bite you in the butt. This is coming back to bite you in the butt, when you just got rid of all these people. So I don't know what you're going to do. Thank you so much for joining us, Tamika. Let's say good morning to our Pastor Charlene. Good morning, Pastor Charlene.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. How are you, my dear, today? Good morning, everybody.
I am well, thank you. I'm well.
Good
How
morning.
Are you feeling over there?
I am getting much better. I thank the Lord.
Thank God, thank God, thank God. All right, we're talking about them finally shutting down a fraternity chapter for their behavior. You know, they were caught on video, you know, video circulating throughout the entire school, worked its way to the police department of these young men chanting how they raped the dead woman, and even where they've kept her in some kind of a wooden box, or they did at one point or whatever. And finally, their, you know, or the organization itself closed that chapter on that campus. They were also accused from many women, even with the video circulating, of white powder that they're putting in the drinks when they make the drinks at the bar, or, you know, they're big, they have a huge party every year. And they have been known to lace the drinks. And now they're going, bye-bye. What's your thought?
Yay, 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 yay. That's a blessing.
Yes,
I never did like the fraternity or sorority. I remember when my son came home and he told me that he had joined. My first reaction was, I didn't send you there for you to join. Join them books. Join them teachers. That's what we send money. That's what we send you there for, sir, is for you to do that. But they did have some things, because when my son came home, he was branded. And I flipped. Some of the things that he told me that they do. And my question is, why are y'all trying to be a part of something that can kill? You know, you might have survived it, but somebody else might have had a heart attack. Let's just do something to where that, where you had a heart attack, where this person had to go, when Lady Tamika was talking about broken arms, broken legs, you know, and y'all don't think about the parents. But then there are some parents that is okay with that. You know, as my daughters, well, they didn't do that part. But I told them, you know, when you go to these places, as far as drinks, you got to watch that bartender, because the other people are paying the bartender, us as grown people. You don't have to be in a sorority to know that. Once you saw something, you should never went back. Once you heard about it, you should never go. So with that, I've never appreciate them doing that. So I am so excited that they closed them down. They need to close them all down, lock them up. What's the mind state of you sleeping with dead people? You know what? That means they went to the cemetery. And if they went to the cemetery, they should have set them up. And when they went to go into one, that person was alive and jumped up and got them.
You know,
and they
what?
All would have been dead. What?
You're a mess. Oh my goodness gracious. Oh my goodness.
Now
gracious.
You have been initiated,
oh my
into
goodness.
The cemetery.
I'm done. I'm so done with you. See, my mind went to something different. My mind went to y'all and messed around somebody, one of them girls, and party with you and died. And ended up dying, whether it was from alcohol, you know, poisoning or something like that. Or y'all did something, and she ended up dying in your, you know, in your presence. And instead of y'all doing the right thing, y'all raped her. That's where my head went. They ain't even made it to the cemetery in my head. Oh my God!
And did make a video of that. How about that? And a song and a dance.
That is hilarious, Pastor Charlotte. Leave it to you and Shanti to get all creative on us. Thank you so much.
Yay, Shanti.
So much. Oh, my goodness gracious. All right, so we got this three-phase fight against crime in the subway system. And phase one is the one we talked about putting the cameras on 63 moving cars. They're increasing the presence of cops by adding 1,200 shift hours. So that means they're doing overtime. And we're also talking about making sure that these psychiatric patients become psychiatric patients. You know, that the mentally ill are not just walking the street, but that they're now put into psychiatric homes and centers. What's your thought on that fight plan?
Okay, so let's break it down. The cameras on there is going to be shaky, so you're not going to be able to see. Now, a good example, they put the cameras on the police officers, right? So if they have the body cameras and when they're running, you can't really see. What makes you think that you'll be able to see it on the train? And especially when sometimes you want a train and the lights go out. That was one.
Mm-hmm.
Then I went to, I'm going to save the cops for last. So then you go to the mental, right? Now, everybody nowadays is claiming that they have a mental issue. So what you going to do, lock up everybody in the world? That was my thought. Then I thought about that those that don't, a lot of people don't take their medication. I deal with them on Friday. A lot of them don't want you to even say anything to them, don't look at them. So how are you going to get a team to get these people to be locked up? Now that's going to be overcrowded because we don't have enough room for those that are in there now. So how can you do any of that? Then I went to the cops. I thought about that. I thought about how they let all of these cops go. But now my thing is don't give them overtime because most of them, they're so tired, they're going to fall asleep and they're not paying attention and all they want is the money. Spend the money and hire some and, like you said, get a better system of how to hire these people with more quality or with more, because so many people out here that needs a job. So if you hire these people who are more qualified, you know, and even the ones that you might have let go, some of them might say, you know what, okay, you're paying me more, I'll come back. So you need to have more, don't take the ones off the street, but be able to hire just for the train and put two cops on each car. Where that one would stay on and walk up and down, do two cars. And then you know how they do that check when they lean their head out, everybody good, and then they come back on. You got to come with something. You got to come with something. Even if you don't put them on, you know, so like the cops will walk up and down the cars. And then even if you don't have somebody that's on the platform, but you'll be able to see. And then they have, like, checkpoints where that you know that everybody is good. Something, because at least they might think about it. I ain't saying they'll stop the crime, but at least it might, you know, bring the crime down a little bit. So that's what I thought about that. Not just give them, you know, overtime, because a lot of time overtime, you don't even see them anyway. Was they somewhere else? Getting a donut or something, I don't know.
Absolutely, you know, and that was part of my thought. Okay, so now you got people in overtime; they're tired. Does that make for a tricky, you know, trigger finger, you know, or loose trigger finger? Because you know you're tired, brain ain't functioning properly. You know, now you're a little more nervous and jittery and things like that. And how you gonna fight off somebody if you're tired? You know, so you know, adding more hours to a police officer's day is not the answer. You know, it just doesn't. You don't break down those who are still here and working. You need them at their height. Yes.
Do you remember the guardian angels? You know, their responsibility was to police the subway system. You know, if I recall, they didn't have weapons, but, you know, their job literally was to physically police the subway system to ensure that those that were riding were safe, the passengers were safe.
Right.
You know, it's like, okay, can we bring back something like that possibly?
Right. I mean, it's something to think about because you also have the auxiliary police. So between, like you said, between like a
a guardian angel type thing, or the auxiliary police, and they don't have to pay them. They don't have to pay them. But, you know, their duties in both sets, their duties are limited as to how. But, again, the presence, you know, will distract some people, you know. So even if you have a drop of, what, 20-30% for the, you know, the deterrence, and or the, you know, the presence of these people being there, you know, kind of, you know, stop some of these crimes. And the thing about it is, you know, back in the day when the guardian angels used to be out there, you didn't even have this kind of crime. The crime that's out there now, again,
right,
like we always talked about, so much worse. You know, you're talking about pushing mm-hmm. people on the subway track. You talk about guns. You're talking about you got an axe. You're talking, you know, it's like, and the reason why I talked about the shoving on the thing is because that's so impulsive. You can never see that coming. But you need to make it a rule where no one stands beyond a certain point on that platform. Because then you'd really, literally have to drag somebody to get them on the train tracks. You know, I can't imagine even being positioned to be pushed on the train track now. My back would be such against that wall, you'd have to drag me off the wall onto the track. Who is at a point on the train, on the platform, where they can be pushed after all this pushing has been going on? So, you know, again, maybe the presence of those type of individuals just might cut down, you know, at least some of, you know, a crime that goes on. So, you know, they have to do a lot more work than these three phases. I don't, and again, we talked about this before. Where do you go from here? You have allowed it to get so bad. Where do you go from here? So we'll see how effective this three-phase plan is. And we'll talk about that when it comes up. So thank you so much, ladies, for indulging me on our in our conversation. The men have joined us, so we will begin our main topic of conversation. And there's a list here that says, you know, that you have to watch committing to a man until you see certain components. So we're going to start with the gentleman this morning, give them a chance to speak first. We're going to hear what they have to say. So remember, we're talking about the advice that says, ladies, don't commit to a man before he shows you these things. Okay. Where he wants to live. Oh, shut now. Danny got this jumping already. Let's say good morning to our brother Al. Good morning, brother Al.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. How you doing?
How are you? I'm well, thanks. How you doing over there?
Hey, listen, you know how I do. Good Lord tapped me on the shoulder and said, get up! So I'm all good. Beautiful day.
All right, Mr. All Good. You know, they are warning the ladies to not make a commitment until they see some components or some, you know, decisions made or whatever it is. And the first thing they come out the box is, don't commit to him till you know where he wants to live. What say you?
I kind of disagree with that because I'm looking at it like this. Let's just say I say, you know what, I want to move down south, but I'm single, and that's my thought of I want to move down south. You might want to move to Chicago. You know, if we get together, then that's something that we should come together and decide, because we, you know, I'm just getting to know you. You know, I'm going to say, hey, look, I would like to move down south. It ain't written in stone, but that's my thought. But then when you come along and we get together, I might change that and say, okay, you know what, Chicago do sound pretty good. Let's check that out.
All righty. Let's say good morning to, oh, it's good to have you with us this morning, Brother Al. Thank you for joining us. Let's say good morning to Pastor KL. Good morning, Pastor KL.
Good morning, Pastor Steph. How are you?
Listen, I ain't got no time for your smart Alex this morning. Oh, my goodness gracious. Oh, my God, you singing with me. You know, you don't know how to act. Never know how to act. All right, we're talking about commitment. We're talking about ladies. Don't commit yourself to this man until you know where he wants to live. What say you, Pastor KL?
Well, I mean, I guess I just have to echo Brother Al because I don't even think that's a deal breaker because, first of all, I've been single all this time. I don't know where I want to live, you know. And like he says, when you and I might want to, you know. Oh man, that sounds like a nice place. Maybe I might look into that. I might want to move where you want to move. But there's no way in the world, Brother Al, I'm moving from New York to Chicago. I ain't moving from cold to cold. That's not gonna happen. So
I'm just saying.
But I do understand. I do understand.
All right. Well, let me see what the ladies say, because my head went somewhere different than you two men. Let's see if the ladies are thinking the way ladies think. Tamika, they say, do not commit to this man until you find out where he wants to live. Let me see if your head went to where my head went to.
No, I'm not doing it. You know, I met you in New York, but your family is from Cambodia, and that's where you want to go back to. So now you're trying to take me all the way over, you know, to areas that I've never seen before. You know, and it could be a good thing. However, you know, it could be one of those situations where you get me over there. I don't know anybody. Nobody cares about me. You know, now you got me locked up in a building. You know, you got to be really, really cautious and really, really careful. You know, is there anybody that's going to, you know about me leaving? You have to guard yourself, you know, and not only where he wants to live, but how he wants to live. You know, are you a slob? You know, you come over every now and then, and, you know, you let him know that you're coming by and everything is pristine, you know, and that one day you decide, you know, oh, well, you know, I was in the neighborhood and you happen to go by and now everything is a disaster. Be very, very careful.
Wait, why is somebody clearing their throat?
Hey, what wasn't me this time.
I had something in my throat. Thank you. But since you're asking, you don't need to come to my house unannounced. Ain't nobody invited you.
I knew one of the men were gonna say, well, if you decided to drop by unannounced, then you listen. Don't hold me to what you find.
Hey, my pastor, Sam, here's the thing to Lady Tamika. Why are you dating somebody from Cambodia? You know that's the man's hometown. He's going to want to go home. Why are you dating him? That'd be like dating somebody from Africa. Sooner or later, he's going to want to go to his country. Stay Americanized, if that's what you're doing. Stay Americanized.
Oh, my goodness. Well, here's one thing. We do know that they listen to It's Due Time with Pastor Steph in Cambodia. So you ain't going to miss the show.
Well, look, after what Lady Tamika said, we might lose a couple of minutes.
Right? You might not be a due time a crew member anymore. Oh, my goodness. Pastor Charlotte, they say, ladies, don't commit to this man unless you know where he wants to live. Let me see if your head went to where my head went to immediately.
My thought was taking me someplace that I don't know where I'm going, and that where that I'm not living where you might want to live. because you might want to live with the roaches and the rats and all that, and it's okay with you. So that was my first thought of where you trying to take me. And I'm coming to see where you live at. But you know what? A lot of times, too, some people say this is where they live, but it be somebody else's house, and it don't be there.
You know what?
So you have to do a pop-up. I'm telling you, too.
Leave it up to Pastor Charlotte with the conspiracy theory. Oh, my goodness.
All the time.
You know, let me tell y'all something where my head went. My head didn't go to location as far as like a country or another state. My head went to, does he want to come and live up with you? You got your own place, but he don't. So now where you want to live? I can't commit to you before I know where you want to live. Are we trying to get our own place, you know, or place together? Or are you planning on coming up here and flopping up with me? That's where my head went. My head didn't even go where y'all went with, like, location. My head went there. So I find that was y'all got some good points. Good points, especially.
We can save money if we flop with you. Why do we need to go get another place?
Exactly.
You already had a place.
Exactly.
You established. So let's save money.
That's exactly mm-hmm.
what you
about.
Got.
Right. That's exactly what I'm talking about. He didn't peep that you got your own. And because I used to say that all the time. I'm like, listen, I fought and just me and God fought and struggled for me to stay in this house. Now, you want to marry me, you have to buy me a house. Because, see, you can't come up in here. Because there's a whole lot of blood, sweat, and tears you don't know nothing about. So you have to find me another house.
Look how much money we want. That's when I got to come up to you and really talk to you. Hey, baby, look how much money we wasted doing that. We've already established the house. Help me help you.
And I keep telling you, I can't go with your antics. You're on a smooth Barry White base, really deep talking. Oh, my goodness. Pastor
what's yours is mine, and what's mine is yours.
First of all, the men gonna be scared to date Pastor Charles. That's number one. She scared him into doing what she wants. That's the question you should be asking.
That's all right.
So when I met Elder, every time Pastor Charles went to hug him, he flinched and he slipped me a note saying help. So I don't know what's going on.
Oh my goodness.
That's a question. Don't ask Charlotte no question because she gonna think she gonna kill somebody.
Pastor Charlotte, you wanted to say something?
Yes. I wanted to say, well, you ain't help him cause he's still here. So you ain't never did any help him. But what I wanted to say was you have to he's already bringing his stuff in because that's how Elder decided that he was going to come over here where I'm at. Before you know it, their clothes is already here. You don't have to say where we're going. It was already established in their mind. So Elder is listening.
Yep.
So you already know.
Yep, I'm telling you. They be sliding in. They got a bag here or bag there. And when y'all break up,
and
you got to move all your stuff out. No. That's where my
head went. This is how you do it. You bring, every now and then while she at work, you bring a picture, you put it on the wall. You know, you bring a new lamp or something. You know, you kind of, you know, bring stuff in to make it a little homey. You know what I mean? You put the flowers on the dinner table.
No.
Or you do it the other way. You start buying appliances. You know, I'm gonna buy. Oh, baby, you got that old can of. I'm gonna go get us an electric can opener. You know, you start buying appliances. That shoes the most fun. Buy that microwave, that toaster oven. You know.
You know what?
No, Pastor Steph, let me tell you how it starts. It starts off with a tie. Then the next thing you know, oh, I'm a change my clothes at your house. Then it starts from there. Then the next thing you know, oh, I bought me a new pair of sneakers. And then they say, next thing you know, can I get a drawer? That's how it started. It don't start up with no pictures. That's how it started. Next thing you know, you got a drawer. Then it went from the drawer, now I have to hang something in the closet. Let me tell you how it started. I'm living it.
Why are we going to keep lugging clothes back and forth for? You know, it's that bag is heavy carrying it back and forth. I can leave a little something here.
Exactly.
Brother Al. What they're not saying is that they be the one that says, "Hey, you coming over tonight? You gonna stay over tonight?" Well, listen, if I'm gonna stay over, I might as well bring a bag. I might as well stay.
You know what?
You know?
Exactly. That's either you gonna stay over. Why you carrying that heavy bag? You can leave that here. Okay, cool.
You know what?
Right.
No.
All y'all got us guilty of is asking, "Are you gonna stay here tonight?" Which you should be asking. But all we're doing is asking a question. Now, that means you need to bring a bag? No. That's why you're the only Jada man who's got his own place. If you are going to date somebody, make sure he got his own place. What you want? What?
Can I ask you a question, Pastor Steph?
No, you can't ask me
nothing. I got a question for you.
No.
Does Mariah have clothes at your house?
Mariah's my granddaughter. Are you really equating?
Does she have clothes at your house? Does she have clothes at your house? And then she has clothes at her mother's house, right? Right?
Yeah.
Okay, it's the same thing. It's the same thing.
Oh, my goodness.
That is not
the
same thing.
Is it? we are now equating the bums with the grandchildren. You know what? I think I'm going to have to permanently shut your mic off. What in the world? Oh, my goodness gracious. Okay. We got to have some. No. Pastor KL needs to be in one of them psychiatric centers with the people they taking off the train. Something seriously wrong with him. All right. They say, do not commit to a man before you know if they're putting it as him being religious. Let's say a Christian. I'd rather that. So until you know he's a Christian man, don't date him. Don't commit to him. What do you say, Pastor Charlene?
That's right. And see how far, because look, some of them be fronting and acting like they know the Lord, and they really don't. So you got to put them to a test. Be careful.
All righty. All righty. Brother Al, what say you? Don't commit to him before you know that he's a Christian.
Yeah, I think you shouldn't commit to somebody until you know their religion, not just a Christian, whatever you believe in. You know, I can't be a Christian and you a Muslim, or I'm a Christian and you practicing Buddhism. That ain't going to work. So I think that's definitely important to find out what they believe in.
All righty. Pastor KL.
Yeah, I think that's definitely a strong no. Do not do that until you know their religion. And then the other thing too is, because in my former days, you know, I got to talk about me. You know, I knew every gospel song. I mean, I could sing every gospel song and sing it to you, "How Great Thou Art." But I wasn't going to no church, nobody. I was just singing because I know that you went to church, and I knew you liked these songs, so I was going to make it look like I went to church. So, yeah, you got to make sure that they really into what they're talking about, not just knowing the song. I knew a lot of songs. I could sing every song that you knew, every hymn, you know, but I was just trying to get to the hymn.
Go to his church, lady. Go to his church. Because you see what he's talking about? He didn't learn this on YouTube. Oh, Tamika, what say you? Yeah, you really definitely have to check that, you know, and be very strategic in your questioning and asking. You know, I remember in my former life, you know, I was talking to, you know, a man, and I said, do you believe in God? Yeah, I believe in God, you know, and he gave me this big spiel about such and such and such, and I was like, oh, that's good, great, perfect. Then I said something about Jesus. He was like, wait, whoa, I don't believe in Jesus. I'm like, what? Excuse me? Come again? You know,
yeah.
And so you have to be really, really careful, you know, who you're talking to, you know. Ask questions. Don't just go surface level. You need to go deep. Start talking and engaging about conversation, because if not, it'll come back to bite you in the butt or in the face or in the butt.
Absolutely. Pastor, we started with you, Pastor Charlotte. All right, what's the next one they're saying? All right. Oh, okay. Ladies, do not commit to him unless you find out if he truly wants to be a dad. All righty. Come on, Brother Al.
I'm sorry. Come back to me in 1 minute.
Pastor KL, do not commit to
him. He don't want to be no dad.
He's thinking about that thing. Pastor KL, I'm with you. Give me a minute to think about it. That's why I laugh, because that's the way it sounds. All right. What do you think about that point, Pastor KL?
Well, I think that is a great point, because listen. You know, some folks who have already had children and who've been paying child support forever, they don't want to do this again. You know, they don't want no more kids. I can barely get $2 out of the check I got. You know, and then for folks who don't have kids, I mean, there's mothers and there's men and there's women who don't want kids. You know, and if you're the woman talking about, you know, my clock is ticking, and I got to have some children. No, I don't want that. I can't pay my light bill now. Now you want to have kids. No, you got to really, really know what their plan is, because you could be disappointed. And everybody has daddy material.
No, absolutely. And disappointed ain't going to, you're not going to just stay disappointed. It don't stay there.
Right.
You don't
right.
live in disappointment. That thing moves over to some other stuff. You may end up being in belonging in a psychiatric center. So don't start, because you ain't going to stay disappointed.
Mm-hmm.
You're absolutely right, Pastor K.
And now I've got to look at the other side, is that now I feel like I'm trapped because you did this. You know, I feel you just wanted a baby.
Yeah.
You know, there's many women who just wanted my baby. You know?
Oh, my gosh. Why do we always I'm back. Oh, yeah. I so can't. I can't. I wish I could shut your mic off. I so can't. I wish I could shut your mic off. Jesus is going to tell me this one day, Pastor Cal. Shut him down. He said, everybody wanted my baby. I can't. Brother Al, help us out here. Rescue us from Pastor KL. So what do you think of the point that says, you know, make sure he wants to be a dad before you commit to him? What's your word on that one?
Yeah, I would say if you're looking to have children, you should make sure that your partner is on the same page. You know, you can't, I think it's bad, as I've seen it happen to couple of friends of mine, like, no, I don't want to have kids, and they said okay, and then the girl made it away where she got hurt, where she actually put a hole in the condom and he wound up having a baby. So now the relationship is kind of on the edge, because he's like, yo, I told you I didn't want kids, and you kind of forced the issue. But I think it's the man's fault too. If you say you don't want kids and she says she do, then you shouldn't be with her. So I think that is a very important question if you're looking to have kids, because now you're bringing a life into this world, and you know, and you want that kid to grow up to be a positive impact on the world? So I think that's a very important question.
All righty. This ain't only a question, brother. We talking about do not commit to this individual. All right. Tamika, are you still with us?
I'm still here.
What's your thought?
It's very important. That's a conversation that needs to take place on either frame. You know, he wants a baby, you know, and she doesn't, you know, and she gets pregnant and now she's resentful. You know, these things are really important, because what ends up happening is if you decide to commit now, you know, you find yourself either in a position that you're angry because you can't have a child, or you're angry because you had one and you didn't want it. You know, and so my thing is, if that individual is going against what you feel, meaning that you want or don't, you know, and they're going the opposite, it's not something that's going to work, because somebody's either going to be angry or somebody's going to be upset. And so you need to decide that either you're willing to not and make sure that that's what you want, or that you should engage in a relationship with somebody else who does want to, so that you're not miserable for the rest of your life.
All righty. Pastor Sharlene, what are we talking about here? Do not commit until you know if he wants to be a dad, ladies.
Absolutely. It was in my first conversation, the first time we went out. It'd be in the second conversation.
What?
Because, yes, let me tell you why. When I was dating this husband right here, and he likes children, and I was like, I'm too old, I had no baby, so you need to find somebody else. And he was like, no. I was like, I'm letting you know on the next time we went out, I am not having no babies. I got my kids as grown. I ain't trying to make no babies. So if he is persistent that he wants to have, then it is not good. So find out, make sure, because the date should be over. Get the bill, please, and it's time to go.
And the third day, she put a knife to his throat and said, did not tell you I didn't want no kids, and then it was over.
Listen.
Wow.
We have grandkids. You want to play with somebody else's children, that's fine. But they got to go home. But I am not having no babies. It should be in the first conversation. So you don't have to waste his time and you don't have to waste yours.
Wow. Woo. You my due time crew. Boy, I tell you, this is the best remedy here for shaking the Monday morning blues. Thank you so much for your conversation and your contribution into this conversation. And we pray you have a blessed day.
You too.
Have
you
a
all
blessed day, everyone.
Thank you. All righty, you know what time it is. It's the top of a Monday morning. Let's say good morning to Shantice so we can get the switch tip with Shantice. Good morning, Shantice.
Good morning, Pastor Steph.
How are you today?
Fine, thank you.
All right. It's Monday morning. What's the switch tip for today?
And today we got the switch with Shantice, where we make the switch from the streets to our godly seat. And today we have our switch tip 123, which is put God in your response. And synonyms for response is reaction, retaliation, and comeback. And when I thought of, I actually had these set of verses noted in my phone. Didn't have a title for the switch tip, you know, to it, but when I read the verses, I just knew it was for me, even though it didn't really, it hit me, but I couldn't think of, like, a scenario as to why it was sticking. And then when I just read it a little while ago, two scenarios came to mind. Okay, so again, reading the synonyms for response, reaction, retaliation, comeback. And one thing that I've noticed about myself is I don't ever really have to think of a comeback. Like when someone says something to me or does something to me, especially when they say something that seems real off and or left to me, it's like before I know it, I just start responding. Like I just start talking and coming back. And it's not until after I say it, I was like, wow, Shanti, you really said that. And I'll even be like laughing or shaking my head at myself. But it's just like, I'm like, God, what's the imbalance I have chemically going on in my brain that just has me... It's almost like I be sitting there waiting for people to say stuff. But I thought about one scenario about a month or so ago. I was on a bus, and the bus driver was, he was bugging. From the time he pulled out from the first stop, I got on the first stop, and you would have thought he had a curfew where either his mother said, you better be in this house. I don't care if you got a job. I lock my door at such and such a time, and if you ain't in here, then you just out on the street until I decide to unlock my door. Or you would have thought he was in an abusive relationship where his woman was like, I'm clocking you, and your time clock says that you should be punching out. So I don't know what was going on, but he was just speeding, running red lights. So now, this is a bus, a 42-seater bus, speeding, tailgating, everything, and I'm yelling from the back like, you want to stop running these lights? He act like he ain't hear me. I know he heard me because everybody heard me. So how you didn't hear me? And I went to go get off the bus, and I already took the number down because I already had in my mind, like, okay, I'm going to report him. No problem. And I got off the bus, and I was like, you know, you're going to cause accidents. And he went to go say something, and I knew what he was going to say by how he started off with his response. But before he could finish, I came back with my response, and it wasn't a godly one. Not at all. Like, not at all. And it was so crazy to where there were, like, two teenage girls in front of me, and they turned around like, boom! Like, what? Because they didn't, I don't think they heard him, what he said to me, but they heard what I said to him. And I kind of started laughing to myself. But it was like, you're not about to come at me, and you wrong. Like, you're about to turn this whole bus over because you driving like you stupid and remedial. But, yeah, you fitness have something to say to me. I think not. But my response wasn't godly at all. I had to say several prayers for several days afterwards. But then that made me think about some of these verses that I came up with. So the first one, well, I didn't come up with, but I came across. 1 Peter 3:9, New Living Translation. Don't repay evil for evil. Don't retaliate with insults when people insult you. Instead, pay them back with a blessing. That is what God has called you to do, and he will grant you his blessing. So when I read that, I was like, okay, God, you said don't repay an insult with an insult, because he tried to insult me, but before he could finish his insult, I insulted him. But then you said pay them back with a blessing. So, God, what was the blessing? Was I supposed to say one of them verses that I memorized for myself? Was I supposed to, you know, because sometimes it's like when you say, when people know you mad at them and you say have a blessed day, that comes across real sarcastic. They take it, and you could mean it genuinely, but they take it sarcastically. Should you not care that how they take it? You should just say, I don't know. But you know what, God? This just shows me that I wasn't as in tune with you in that moment as I should have been, because I ain't do what you said in this verse. I didn't pay him back with the blessing. I paid him back with an insult, because that's how I felt. I felt insulted that I was sitting on this bus with him driving like he ain't have no sense. And now I repaid him with what he paid me with. So we have to make sure that we repay people with a blessing, not so that we can get something from God, but he says that is what God has called you to do, and he will grant you his blessing. So again, because God understands that this is a struggle for most, and of course for me, he's like, don't worry about it. You do what I ask you to do, and I'm going to make sure that you see how I take care of you. Criticism and sarcasm is repaying evil for evil. And those two words popped up especially because those are two words on our word fast here in this church. And I haven't been doing too good lately with staying away from those two. And that made me think about the second scenario where someone who was supposed to be my friend went MIA again, like 50th time. And it wasn't a shock, you know, it wasn't a surprise. But, you know, I was just, okay, whatever. They just acting stupid, whatever, you stay over there, I stay over here. And then I ended up speaking to them again. And, you know, at first, when I first spoke to them, I didn't bring anything up, you know, just talking casually, hey, how you doing, blah, blah, blah. Then when I spoke to them the second time, I was like, all right, so why you been acting like a meatball? What's wrong with you? And they're like, oh, you know, I just been going through so much. And I was like, oh, you know what I heard? I heard that happens with people who live life. Like, everybody goes through something. Like, so what? But then I was told that that was being sarcastic. And I was like, you know what, God, I feel like I just can't win. Because it's just like, I'm just tired. Everyone goes through something. Okay? And for us to sit here and try to compare, well, your something ain't as big as my something, is an insult. Because, again, we don't know what the real details in, you know, of everyone's ins and outs or everyone's something. You know, listen, bottom line is, everybody's going through something. This life is a struggle. Whether you're a Christian, whether you're a non-believer, the biggest difference is you just trust God as a Christian to get you through those bad moments or days or whatever. But that was pain and insult for insult. So then that brought me down to, again, that same chapter, 1 Peter 3, but verses 10 through 12, New Living Translation. For the scriptures say, if you want to enjoy life and see many happy days, keep your tongue from speaking evil and your lips from telling lies. Turn away from evil and do good. Search for peace and work to maintain it. The eyes of the Lord watch over those who do right, and his ears are open to their prayers. But the Lord turns his face against those who do evil. And again, I think it was last week, I spoke about how God revealed to us in our church study that some of us still evil because of certain things that we did, certain ways we responded, certain things that we said, you know, just because we're not out here raping, robbing, you know, and all that kind of stuff. We deem ourselves not to be evil. But again, God doesn't deal with us on the surface. He digs deep and deeper. And this made me think about how God says that the righteous shall scarcely make it in. And that brings us to 1 Peter 4:18, which reads in New Living Translation. And also, if the righteous are barely saved, what will happen to godless sinners? And see, I don't want to be in that category of, it's like, well, you kind of fit the bill, Shantice, of the sinners. Because, yes, you're a Christian, but you're still teetering on being evil, or you're still evil because of your response. So we have to really make sure we're making the conscious decision, making a switch from paying evil for evil, as my niece will say, because she tells her friends that. Can't pay evil for evil. She even told her mother that. And making sure we're not paying back people when they insult us, we're paying them back with an insult. Making the switch to making sure we're now putting God in our response. Making sure that our reaction and our retaliation and our comeback is a godly reaction, is a godly retaliation, is a godly comeback. Because if not, we will be paying evil for evil, and we will be no different than the sinners. And I just got finished telling someone, you know, I did not choose God, and I'm not fighting to stay, you know, I'm not struggling to stay on point with God just so that with the simple things, which is not really that simple, but with the simple, small things, I'm just being careless and not caring about, you know, how I act and how I react. That's just stupid. You might as well just go all the way backwards and just be a sinner, be a sinner, be a sinner. You have to really make sure that you're making a switch, making sure that God is in your response all the time in everything, whether you're at work, whether you're at home. Mondays is relationships. And let me tell y'all, I done gotten a whole lot of trouble with my response in relationships. It was never godly, even after I gave my life. And now with realizing that God is paying very close attention to even this, make sure you make the switch from being evil, speaking evil, responding evil, and putting God in your response at all times. Thank you, Pastor Steph.
Thank you, Shantice. Thank you. I had to mute my phone to stop from laughing.
Oh, I thought
that y'all would not hear my laughing. Thank you so much. Good switch tip. Good switch tip. Have a blessed day.
You too. Thank you.
Thank you. All right. Well, let's get this benediction. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing.
To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be blessing and honor and glory and might forever and ever. Revelation 5, 12, and 13. You know, as a person who I've been praying over my response. It's interesting that Shanti came up with this. I've been praying for my response, and not that I would say the wrong thing, but that how I said. So sometimes I can, you know, I just say it, you know, because, you know, when you're looking in my face, and see, here's my problem, and I'll tell you my problem. Shanti told you her problem, I'll tell you my problem. My problem is, as a pastor, I know what you've been taught. See, I don't talk to the average, everyday, walking individual the way I speak to, you know, the people in the congregation. I know what you've been taught. And what you have to understand is the Bible will tell you that God is not going to give you something before you're able to handle it. Now, please do not equate that with God won't give us more than we can handle. That's not what I'm talking about. Meaning, you're not going to be in kindergarten and God's going to give you college information. The only way he's going to give you the information he's giving you is because you are now prepared, whether you realize it or not, whether you want to be ready or not, whether you think you're prepared or not. To much is given, much is required. That's where we get that from. There, amongst other scriptures. But in other words, God's not going to give you something. What you're given, you're now required to act on it. You can't keep acting like you don't know this thing here. And it's one thing to make, you know, to be working towards something and not doing anything with it. Those are two different things. You know, I've heard this on Sabbath, or I heard this in the sermon, or I heard this such and such a thing, or the pastor said this to me, and, you know, now I got to get myself together because, you know, this is important to God. He gave this to me. Now I have to now work on this thing. How many people get the word and then they don't do anything with it? You just sitting there and it just keeps on going by. As Pastor KL said a long time ago, you know, he gave a sermon, and I know I'm going to get this wrong, but you get the gist of it. You know, God is speaking, but he's not speaking to me. God is talking, but he's not talking to me. You know, he's talking in the room, but he's talking to everybody else but me. This does not apply to me. I ain't got to work on this thing. You know, I ain't got to even consider it. No. And see, that's where I always, you know, I always think about, you know, okay, so when you say something to me, most times I'm going to ask you a question. And a lot of people take that as sarcasm. But God has put into me, and there's a tagline I use, God is breeding thinkers. He's breeding thinkers. Most times I'm going to look at you and ask you a question. I'm not smiling. And I may not be mad, but I'm not smiling. Because, see, now I got to get my thoughts together so that you can get your thoughts together. Sometimes I'll respond to you on something that, like, okay, so you should think about this a little bit more. If you thought about it a little bit more, then you would be able to come up with it. It doesn't mean that I'm insulting. It doesn't mean that I'm belittling you. It's just, that's the way I respond. So I've been praying because everybody now is all sensitive. They're all just weeping and bowing in the corner. I'm like, what's wrong with these people? Because, you know, time is winding up. You know what I'm saying? I don't want to say God is coming, Jesus is coming through. Time is winding up. And let me tell you why I have opted to use that more than Jesus is coming soon. Because most of us ain't going to be here. Not somebody in my age group. More than likely, we ain't going to be here when Jesus returns. So the fact that Jesus is coming soon is less important than time is winding up. What does that mean? That means that whatever date your end date is, That day is coming sooner. Every day we live. So today, we're a day closer to me dying. So if I'm supposed to die at 100 years old, then guess what? I'm one day closer to that 100 years old. Time is winding up. We don't have no time to be over in the corner crying and whining and whimpering and all of this dumb stuff when you need to take what God has given you. Get yourself together and move, because every day is costly. Are you going to spend your time over in the corner? God is investing in you, and there are people who don't have what you have. People are not getting what you're getting. If you're listening to this broadcast every day, think about how much stuff you get from this broadcast every day. And think about the people who don't listen, who are not getting what you're getting. And now when you get it, you over in the corner whining and crying about it instead of saying, yo, I got to get myself together. I really got to do better. When I speak to you, I'm speaking to you. Listen, let me tell you something. Anybody knows Stephanie? No, you ain't going to get, I could bust out in a series of laughter that would shut a place down. We have been out to eat many a day, and all the tables around us are like, I want to know the joke. What is she laughing at? And for everybody else, it's not that big of a joke, but for me, it tickles me so much. So anybody who knows me knows I love to play. I love to laugh. I love to joke. I love being with family. I love being with friends. I love having a good time. But let me tell you something. I need you to think. I need you to think. God needs you to think. And think, because when you don't, it's going to be costly. It's going to be costly. You're going to have to get yourself together. We have to make sure that we do what we're supposed to do. Yes, we're going to trip. We're going to fall. We're going to fumble. God's got that. He's got that. But you have got to turn this thing around and think about the time that you're wasting over in the corner, all sensitive. You know, we've got this situation that we just, you know, we were thrown into, and even hearing a subsequent conversation about it, the person just don't get it. They just don't get it. And I'm like, what in the world? Are you going to crash and fall and be destroyed before you get the simple things? We ain't talking about nothing. I mean, nothing huge. Just a little itty-bitty. They refuse to see where they are wrong and mishandling things and just not paying attention to things the way they need to. And here's the thing. Everybody's saying the same thing. I have not heard one person say anything different than the next. And you're still sitting on the opposite side of the fence talking about this and that. I don't think so. And I don't believe. Get it together. Because every day you are closer to dying. Are you going to die in God, or are you going to die out of God? Think about it. You've been listening to It's Due Time with Pastor Steph. Join us Monday through Friday from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. where we discuss matters of the heart, mind, and spirit. As you go through your day, be sure to set your mind on things that are above, not on things that are on the earth. They will only serve as a distraction. Remember, prayer changes things. It's Pastor Steph signing off, and I want to thank my Due Time crew for always helping to shake the Monday morning blues. Thank you for hanging out with us today. I pray that you have listened and you have taken in everything that God has given you. Please do not miss this opportunity to accept Jesus as your personal Savior right now, or strengthen that relationship with him right now, because later is not promised to us. Until tomorrow, God spares our life where it. Let's talk about it Tuesday, Church Folks Day. I love you.